You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Locked On Broncos. It's game week. You know, we had a breakdown today here on Locked On Broncos on Monday, talking about really the 53-man roster and what it means for the Broncos going forward. I know a lot of speculation, you know, a lot of cuts over the weekend. We had Sarah Bettinger, editor over Predominantly Orange, join us to talk about that on Monday's episode of Locked On Broncos. Welcome back. And I hope you guys are having a beautiful Tuesday here today on Locked On Broncos. Very excited about the game week scenario. Tomorrow we have a Locked On Broncos, Locked On Seahawks crossover show with the guys over there at Locked On Seahawks. Going to be very exciting to do that as well as the NFL regular season commences. Every single Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network, it will be the Locked On Broncos crossover show with the opponent of the week. So week one, we got the Seahawks. Week two, it'll be a Locked On crossover with the Oakland Raiders. So very excited about that. You can catch all my work. I'm a columnist over at Predominantly Orange. You can check it out at predominantlyorange.com. I'm also an NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the National Football League. You can shoot me a follow on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. And right now we're doing a Periscope live broadcast, so we're recording Tuesday's episode right here on Periscope as well as on the podcast. So we're going to take today, really in segment one, two, and three, we're going to talk about today. We're just going to talk with the fans, the NFL fan base, the Denver Broncos fan base, and those who listen to Locked On Broncos. Today's show is all for you guys. So fire away here in the chat. We're going to be talking about the Denver Broncos. Now, you know, Seattle Seahawks coming to town this week. We're going to talk about that a little bit. I kind of want to hear a little bit of fan prediction, some foreshadowing, what they believe as well. My man EP Bronco, he says, super happy Royce Freeman is the starter. So let's talk about that. Segment number one, Royce Freeman named the starter for the Broncos week one. And I don't think this is a surprise to any. You know, I think we're talking a lot about during the offseason, you know, when the Broncos acquired Royce Freeman, they drafted him. Many people said, oh, you know, what are the Broncos doing with this guy? I'm telling you, there's a reason they got him. And he's a power runner. Very exciting. We've all seen it. We witnessed it in preseason action. So I think any questions a lot of fans had about Royce Freeman have been answered early on in preseason and training camp. He's been the most consistent back. And him and Phillip Lindsay have been really impressive in Broncos training camp and the preseason. So, you know, you're going to see a lot of those two. You're going to see a combination of Freeman and Lindsay, and as well as Devontae Booker. Probably Devontae Booker more so on third down. He's going to be that third down back, I think, that the Broncos are really looking for. You go back to the Washington Redskins game, and he did a pretty good job, in my opinion, of really picking up the chains, moving and getting a little further downhill, something that we haven't seen him do on first down or even second down or even any other downs along the lines of that nature. So he is going to be your third down back for the Broncos, and I think a lot of it is when we go back and look, it's going to be it'll be interesting. There'll be a little experimentation done. Obviously, the Seahawks have a multitude of different options to cover tailbacks, and especially out of the backfield. I think we're going to see a lot of Phillip Lindsay in the passing game, more so on passing situations for the Broncos. I think we're going to see Royce Freeman on that power second and short, first and 10. He's going to be the guy that tries to get you 4 to 5 yards of carry on the first play, you know, first run play from scrimmage. And the Broncos, you know, methodically want to march down the field and set up, you know, even touchdown drives. They want to be more efficient in the red zone this year. And I think the best way to do that is to have a balance. You know, you have to have a balance in the NFL with run pass. You want to come into the NFL and you want to throw it 100 times a game. You know, you look at all the quarterbacks and you look at statistics, you look at box scores. Quarterbacks have to throw more than 40 passes in a game. Likely, their team is probably not going to win that matchup. More than likely, it means they're playing from behind. So you want to have that balance. You know, I think ideally, if we had to come into the regular season and look at what I think the Broncos organization wants from Case Keenum and from the running game out of Bill Musgrave's system is, ideally, you probably want to throw the ball maybe 28 to 27 times a game, and you want to have, you know, a bell cow, not a bell cow necessarily, but running back by committee with Royce Freeman being your primary bell cow in regards to carrying the load for the Broncos, and that's what he's going to do, and that's something Vance Joseph really alluded to on Monday in his press conference talking with the media about all the decisions. You know, Royce Freeman was named the starter on Monday, so that's exciting news. EP Bronco, he brought this up just now in the Periscope broadcast at Cody Rourke NFL. So I think the thing that I'm really excited about the most with the Broncos here is you actually have some options at the run game. You don't have, you know, C.J. Anderson, which really wasn't a good threat out of the backfield receiving. You know, he could take screen plays, but primarily his main focus was running the ball in between the tackles. And I think, you know, more importantly, when we go back and we analyze that, I think it's important to note that you just didn't have that I don't think you had that security necessarily with C.J. Anderson, Devontae Booker. You know, there was something lacking. I think the Broncos have that piece right now with Royce Freeman, which is exciting to me. It excites me tremendously because he's that power guy. You're going to bring in Phillip Lindsay with the ones. You're going to motion him out to a trip set. You're going to go empty as an offensive formation, and you're going to find a way to get Phillip Lindsay the ball because he's had a lot of success covering those inside linebackers, those outside linebackers that really like to get out there in space a little bit. And we saw Phillip Lindsay really take advantage of that, you know, joint practices with the Chicago Bears and vice versa. He's a guy you want to get the ball into his hands because he's very springy, very explosive. So that sums up the running back thing. I don't think a lot of people had a question in their mind that Royce Freeman was the starting tailback for the Broncos. I think the dilemma here was seeing what the Broncos organization, what the coaching staff would do with the running backs. You know, evidently when you watch it on film, Royce Freeman looked like the more well-rounded, polished back. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things to factor in there. My man, Scolger, hey, Sammy, how you doing, man? He says, how is Case doing? Just curious, didn't watch any more preseason for you guys. First game for Case Keenum, and then they, you know, they had that one drive. They didn't really get a lot done. They did a little bit more against the Vikings. He looked more polished, and then, you know, week three against the Washington Redskins of the preseason, he actually lit it up and found Cortland Sutton as one of his primary targets, Emmanuel Sanders, and they did a lot of things. He did a very good job in that game. We didn't see him in preseason game number four because at that point, they're not going to play the starters there. So, you know, Case Keenum looks good. The Broncos are very, very confident right now in Case Keenum. They have a lot of confidence in his ability to lead this team this year as they hope to win the AFC West this year, get back to the playoffs, and maybe even contend and make a deep run in the playoffs. You have to have a difference maker at quarterback, and I think that's what the Broncos have this year. You know, we have to obviously go back to the film. We got to watch it against Seattle this week as they come to town, and a lot of people have written Seattle off the board a little bit. We're going to talk about Seattle here in another second here on the segment number two of today's Twitter Tuesday edition Periscope of Lockdown Broncos, doing this live. Very excited about that. He says, Sanders is legit. Happy for you guys. I hope he gets what he wants. Absolutely. I think Case Keenum, he has some good options to throw to down here in Denver, so that's very exciting to see as well. But today's episode, like I mentioned, is brought to you by MyBookie, and with that, it is game week, which means that the books are open, and you can utilize MyBookie today to get in on all the action, and who you're betting on is just as important as who you are betting with, and I bet with MyBookie, and I utilize them because they're effective, and they've worked for me, and here's why you should use them too. They've been in business for years. They have great online reviews, and their mobile site is very, very easy to use. So you can lay down some cash, and you can win big now with MyBookie. And I would only recommend this service to you if it was beneficial to me. And I've had a lot of success. I've had a lot of love with MyBookie, and that's why I recommend them to you. And I started using them, and I've won cash. And the crazy thing about this is I've played all those, you know, fantasy football things. I've bet money before, and they don't give you your payings right away. And then you're waiting 2 weeks to get your payout. MyBookie.ag has the best payouts for you today. So they have in-game live betting and the most rewarding player perks in the business for you fantasy football guys out there. They give you the option now to bet the over or the under on how many fantasy points a player will score. So they have a lot of cool options this year for you as well, and that's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. They win, and they pay. They pay a lot of good money if you win, so get in on all the action. Join now. MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar, and you can do this by using promo code LOCKEDON to activate this offer as well. Visit MyBookie online today. Use promo code LOCKEDON, MyBookie, MyBookie, and when you create your account to claim the bonus, you play, you win, you get paid with MyBookie today. Locked On Broncos and the Locked On Podcast Network send you their way. Okay, so let's get into it again. Let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks coming into town a little bit. They come into town this Sunday, kickoff at 2:25 p.m. Mountain Time. If you can't make it to the game at Bronco Stadium in Mile High for the kickoff, you're missing out. But if you can't make it and you have to catch it on television, it's going to be on Fox as well. So Tracer Ridgeway, he says, hot take versus Seattle is that Von Miller and Chubb have 4 sacks combined on Russell Wilson. I think that could be doable. It's going to be hard, especially I think when looking at the versatility of Russell Wilson. I think a lot of people, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier on in segment number one, was talking about the fact that a lot of people have written off the Seattle Seahawks. They've written off Russell Wilson. They say they're not going to be any good. Absolutely, the Seahawks struggled last season, and they, you know, incurred a multitude of different injuries, significant injuries in the secondary. Cam Chancellor retired in the offseason. They still have Bobby Wagner, not Bruce Irvin. They have Bobby Wagner. They have KJ Wright still. They still have a lot of their guys down there on the defensive side of the ball. But more importantly, they have some young guys. You know, I think they have Rashad Penny as well. He had that, I believe it was wrist or finger surgery, I'm not sure, on his dominant hand. But he's going to be all right. And I think when we go back and we watch the film, you have to factor in Doug Baldwin as a speedy threat wide receiver. And, you know, they lost Jimmy Graham as an option for Russell Wilson. So, you know, a lot of these younger guys, these tight end guys, you know, Luke Wilson, they're going to step up and they're going to try to make some plays as well. And the Broncos have had a really difficult time in years past covering tight ends. But more importantly, they have to really game plan this week at stuffing the run on the inside, making sure you keep that contained with Russell Wilson, because he is a guy that will get that zone read look, and he'll keep the ball and he'll keep going. So I think we really have to factor in when the Broncos make their defensive game plan. You want to be physical with the receivers, and you don't want to allow the deep ball to happen. I think that's one of the things. Doug Baldwin's a speedy guy, and I think you really have to come into this game plan at containing Russell Wilson. If you can slow down Russell Wilson, you're going to have a great chance to win this game. Coach G. Vincent says, don't you think Seattle will have that drop off not being carried by an elite defense? To be honest with you, the NFL is different every year. I am not entirely too sure exactly how it's going to work with that in regards, because, you know, every year we see a team that was good one year drop off all of a sudden. I think the Seahawks have faced a lot of scrutiny. I feel like they've done a lot of things this offseason to address some of those positions. Yeah, you lose, you know, Richard Sherman. You lose Cam Chancellor to retirement. You got the whole entire saga going on with Earl Thomas about him wanting to be traded or to be paid. So that whole situation is continuing to linger in Seattle, so they're dealing with some distractions there. Coming into game week, though, I think, guys, you know, Russell Wilson, bona fide leaders. He's a great leader on the field for that offense for Seattle. They are going to do a good job, in my opinion, coming into this game prepared. But to be honest with you, I think the Broncos have a really good game plan in place, and they're going to continue to work on it, continue to handle on it this week. It's, you know, Earl Thomas, is he playing this week? EP Bronco asked. To be honest with you, I'm not sure. I don't think he will. This is going to be a test for him, because I haven't really read too much into the entire situation regarding Earl Thomas, since we were told that he was going to sit out. He wasn't going to play until they paid him or traded him. So at this point, I don't think they're going to make a trade this week. They could, but I would expect to maybe see him show up last minute and maybe play on Sunday against the Broncos. That would be my guess. But if he's really holding to his guns on this one, he won't play. I don't think he'll play if he's really firm in his word that, you know, you're either going to give me a contract extension or you're going to trade me or I'm not playing. Sometimes these guys really stronghold NFL teams and they do hold out. I mean, we saw Khalil Mack for a while really hold out for the Raiders, and look how that ended. He ended up being traded. So Earl Thomas is going to try to force their hand. We'll be doing a crossover show with Locked On Seahawks on Wednesday, talking about the game on the Broncos side of the ball and on the Seahawks side of the ball. Very excited about that with Grant Friedman and obviously the great guys over there at Locked On Seahawks. It's going to be a fun episode. We'll have it here, Locked On Broncos, on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcast. I think it's more important. So just looking at this matchup, you know, we're going to do crossover Wednesday, every Wednesday with every team that the Broncos play this season. But to get that opponent's perspective, I feel super, super important. So we are doing a Locked On Broncos Periscope broadcast right now on Twitter. So everything's a little live. Everything's a little less structured here on the broadcast. So if you're wondering, what is this guy going? He's rambling. He's doing all this crazy stuff. It's because we're doing this all on Periscope right now. So we're doing a video format while recording, and we're going to open this up every week. It's going to be a free-flowing episode of Locked On Broncos. You know, we did a great episode with Sarah Bettinger yesterday talking about, you know, the Broncos 53-man roster, some of the cuts. So we're going to answer a little bit of fan questions here. And if fans, you have a hot take that you want to, you know, drop here on Locked On Broncos, fire away here in the Locked On Broncos Periscope chat. We read one hot take that Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, they were going to have four sacks combined between the two of them. And I like that. I like that. If the Broncos can get that formula, if those guys can have two sacks apiece or three sacks to one, or, you know, I think that'll be a good formula for the Broncos in terms of what they want to accomplish defensively. You know, you brought in Adam Pac-Man Jones. You have Tremaine Brock as the number three corner. You have Bradley Roby, Chris Harris as the one and two cornerbacks for the roster. And you're going to have the dilemma now with Sua Cravens going to injured reserve. You have to really deal with the fact that, okay, Will Parks has to step up this week, and DeMonte Thomas has to really step up this week and play that dime linebacker in certain packages under Joe Wood's scheme for the Broncos defense. I think the Broncos defense will be very aggressive, and yeah, I think the keys to the game for the Broncos, you can win the turnover ratio battle by plus three. I think the Broncos have a very good chance here. You know, like I said, the offense, the whole team rides through Russell Wilson. If you can contain him, if you can hit him and make him not want to run the ball, and if you can get pressure on him and force him to throw errant passes, you have a very good opportunity to win. EP says Thomas as safety will be a huge surprise. I think DeMonte Thomas will be a surprise to a lot of Broncos fans, a lot of NFL people watching around the league, because he's a very under-the-radar player that has been stashed on the Broncos practice squad for the last couple of seasons. He got activated last year, played a little bit towards the end of the season. He's going to be a big special teams guy, but he's going to be a big clog there for the Broncos on the defensive side of the ball with Darian Stewart, Justin Simmons, in certain situations where they don't want those guys in. And DeMonte Thomas is a hybrid guy that can play the run, and he never really played dime before. This is his first year really playing that dime linebacker position, and so far early on what we've seen in preseason, it's looked really, really well. So hopefully everything works out there for DeMonte Thomas. I think it's important to note that the Broncos have carried five people on their active roster, five safeties on the active roster, alongside five cornerbacks on the active roster. Now they have four safeties because Sua Cravens now goes to injured reserve. And with that move, the Broncos correspondingly activated Isaiah McKenzie from the practice squad. He takes up that 53-man roster spot right there. And when Sua Cravens returns, the Broncos will have to make a move in order to validate him back on the 53-man roster. He can return. He's going to get a knee surgery. And I think for the Broncos, this is good in a sense to get whatever ailment is out of Sua Cravens right now. Knees can really come back and bother you. I mean, I've torn my ACL. I've torn my meniscus. And even after, years after I've been done with the rehab and with everything else, you know, the knee still becomes a lingering issue. So really, professional athletes have a very big job. And I know the Broncos, they have a lot of access to a lot of trainers. I mean, stuff that I couldn't have as a normal human being that doesn't have the access to training staffs and medical equipment that they do. But knees are lingering. You have to be really smart with knees. I think the Broncos with Sua Cravens, I think that's a good move for them to make in terms of putting him on IR. You know, going in there, getting a knee cleaned up. I don't know if it's a meniscus, but he did have a meniscus operation on that same exact knee. So I think that's going to be a big thing to see going forward as well. Tracer says, do you see Case being considered a top 10 quarterback in the league with DT and Sanders with him this season? I don't really like to make predictions. I would like to say that in terms of Case Keenum, here's my thing. Case Keenum doesn't have to come out, in my opinion, for this Broncos offense. He doesn't have to come out and light up these stat books. I don't think he has to go and throw 40 touchdown passes this season in order for the Broncos to be good. I think him being a leader, him being a smarter quarterback than what the Broncos have had recently, I think for him, he can utilize that, manage games, make good decisions, and obviously getting the Broncos in the red zone, if you can convert those and maybe get about 75% of your red zone opportunities converted with points, the Broncos will be in good shape there as well. And then I didn't get to see Dion's comment because the thing went by really quickly here on the Periscope. So Dion, if you could ask that again, I'd appreciate that, my man. But Exciting news, you know, this weekend we had college football returning and the Locked On Network is expanding with college shows. Coming up this week, we have Locked On Wolverines for Michigan. We got Locked On Buckeyes and we have Locked On Seminoles. Plus, we're already on a Locked On Ducks, the Nittany Lions, the Locked On Bears and Baylor, the Crimson Tide, the Wildcats and Razorbacks. The Locked On Podcast Network is expanding to the Locked On NCAA branch as well. Full slate of NBA teams, full slate of NFL teams. And now, every single week, we're adding college hosts to the biggest Locked On Podcast Network lineup that you can have. It's a huge year, huge month in September for the Locked On Podcast Network. Very excited about that. Go ahead and check that out. Find your favorite college show right now on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts or Spotify. Alrighty, we're closing it up here in the final segment of the Locked On Broncos live Periscope broadcast over here. You can catch this episode on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. And we're joined here by the amazing listeners of the Twitter sphere and the Locked On Broncos podcast on Twitter on this Periscope, asking their questions, giving their hot takes. And, you know, let's fire it away a little bit here. Give me some topics you guys want to talk about a little bit. I know Dion had a question I didn't quite get to. If Dion can repeat that, I'll be happy to cover that as well. I think for the Broncos 53-man roster, there were some surprises, and I think overall, I think a lot of fans shared a little bit of frustration about D'Angelo Henderson, who has looked like a better tailback than Devontae Booker has. Unfortunately, he got let go. Now he's on the New York Jets practice squad, and to be honest with you, that was a move that really kind of confused me a little bit, but it goes to show that they might have a little bit more invested in Devontae Booker, despite not seeing it on film. You know, I go back to the Washington Redskins game preseason week three, and Devontae Booker, he was a third down type back, and when he was in on the drives, he did run north-south, and he did hit the hole a little bit harder than we've seen in weeks one through two of the NFL preseason, even in training camp. But Deion says, since Royce is the number one, who do you think gets more reps, Booker or Lindsey? I think it's going to be a combination of all three of them, and like I said, I think it's going to go in the manner of which certain passing situations are going to bring in Philip Lindsey to be that dynamic guy out of the backfield that they really like, and not to underrate Royce Freeman. I think the Broncos will obviously utilize him in the screen game and the passing game as well. He can do that. He did that at Oregon with Marcus Mariota 1 year, and he was the workload for that Oregon Ducks team for four straight seasons at U of O. Very excited. I got to watch him and to see him on the Broncos now and just see the bounce and just the vision that he has. And, you know, I think we go back to one play against the Washington Redskins. You know, he hits the hole, and there's a D tackle that kind of crosses his face. And we can also go back to the Chicago Bears game, but he hits that hole, makes that one cut, and still goes forward and scores a touchdown. You know, that's something that the Broncos haven't had, unfortunately, in quite some time, and it's nothing against the Broncos running backs. You know, CJ Anderson was great when he was healthy, but other than that, they didn't have a guy out there. EP Broncos says, Lindsey took TD's number. I love it. I kind of want to get your guys' thoughts on this. This just might be my opinion. I feel like certain numbers for the Broncos organization should be retired, shouldn't be touched. You obviously have number 30, Terrell Davis, which now will be Philip Lindsey. He's going to bear number 30. The last guy to bear it for the Broncos was David Bruton. It's different, I guess. For me, it's a little different. I feel like number 30 maybe should be retired for the Broncos. I think number 27 shouldn't be touched, in respect to Steve Atwater, who, I'm sorry, and even Darren Williams. Those guys, I think, really earned that number as well, and I don't think that number should be taken anymore. Alongside with 24, I've got a lot of strong feelings on this regarding Pac-Man Jones, but Champ Bailey gave Pac-Man Jones the blessing to wear the number 24 jersey. So, If Champ Bailey's not up in arms about it, maybe I shouldn't be, but this is just me. You know, I feel like the number 24 holds a very special value for Broncos fans and in Broncos history. He's going to be a future, you know, hopefully this year he's going to be the first ballot Hall of Fame cornerback that the Broncos have needed for a long time. Maybe this is the year that multiple Broncos get the proper recognition they deserve, with hopefully Pat Bowlen getting in and Champ Bailey. I think that's something we really need to look at. But for me, the number 24, and I think a number 24 in the Denver Broncos, I think of Champ Bailey. I think of the 2005 divisional championship game, jumping the interception, returning at 99 yards. To be honest with you, Champ Bailey brings a lot of great memories to, you know, Broncos country when it comes to number 24. So just seeing Adam Pac-Man Jones in that, it's just going to be a little bit different. Maybe that's just me being selfish, but ultimately there's nothing any of us can do that don't really like that move, which is okay. Yeah, it's completely okay. I get that, but it's just a little sore subject for me because I feel like numbers and team history are very important. So if Champ Bailey goes in the Hall of Fame, I'm sorry, I think you have to retire number 24. And I think somebody else needs to wear it. I don't think Pac-Man Jones should wear it. But, you know, we have had a lot of fan interaction. We've had a lot of fan frustration about the Pac-Man Jones signing. And we look at it from a character standpoint of some of the off-the-field issues that Pac-Man Jones has had. And I can agree. I can agree there's red flags when you're operating a business. But this is a business different from other things. I think more so football is a different business because it's all about production. And can Pac-Man Jones produce for the Broncos in the secondary? They needed a veteran dog, as Aqib Talib said, that the Broncos don't have anymore. They brought in a dog with Pac-Man Jones, and I think he's going to be a good option there as a number four cornerback, and I think this gives the opportunity for Isaac Yiadom to develop perfectly. And I think overall for the Broncos, it's important for a young guy like that to develop. And obviously you have Brennan Langley on the practice squad. He's going to continue to develop, but you don't want to get rid of these young guys right away. Isaac Yiadom, he may not be ready right now to be a number three cornerback in the National Football League. He certainly has a lot of the tools, and you can check out my latest article at Predominantly Orange where I talk about a different perspective on the secondary. I think Isaac Yiadom has a lot of tremendous tools in his arsenal. I think he's a lot better than Brennan Langley. I think he's more polished and more ready for Sunday action than Brennan Langley, but he still has to develop a little bit more. And having veteran leadership with Chris Harris Jr., Bradley Roby, and Pac-Man Jones, Tremaine Brock, having those guys in that room with cornerbacks coach Greg Williams, that's going to be a tremendous difference maker. So very excited about that. We're going to conclude here on our Locked On Broncos Periscope edition of the show. We hope you enjoyed it today. It was a little awkward because we're usually used to recording pre-recorded, so this was all recorded live. So very excited for all the fans that joined in to watch the show, listen to the show, and be sure to listen to the show tomorrow or even tonight. Wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, we're bringing it to you on the Locked On Podcast Network. Very excited about that. Just a lot of great stuff going on within the network, within the shows. Don't forget, Wednesday's a crossover show with the Locked On Seahawks crew down there on the Locked On Broncos podcast. Very excited about that. Every Wednesday is Crossover Wednesday here on the network. We'll be doing a live Periscope broadcast of the show, recording it live every single week here on the Locked On Broncos podcast, probably a Tuesday or a Thursday as well. But it is game week. The Broncos kick off in just a few days here against the Seattle Seahawks, 2:25 p.m. Mountain Time kickoff at Broncos Stadium in Mile High. If you can't make it there, tune into Fox or listen to Dave Logan on KOA News Radio. He's got the call for you guys to keep you up to date with all the latest game action of the Denver Broncos. Very excited about that. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Follow the Locked On Broncos Twitter handle at Locked On Broncos. Very excited to do this with you all once again. Appreciate you guys for continually supporting the podcast, supporting me, supporting the work of the amazing crew that we have over here on the Locked On Podcast Network. My man, Deion Hicks, thanks. I look forward to it as well, and I look forward to obviously bringing that show to you, the avid listeners of Locked On Broncos. That'll do it for today's episode of Locked On Broncos. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition, crossover show, Locked On Seahawks.